a couple times. So, but I love it. I love to tell stories. So then when somebody gives me the mic and tells me I've got 4 hours to speak, I love it. I just like to think. So, I have to adjust this a little. Let's get started. Well, anyways, Decisions Play After Words is a TV show that I don't want on the Pursuit Channel. I love it. It feels like sometimes it's a little unreal, like kind of what Rob was saying. I can't believe all the things I got involved in somehow, and it keeps coming out more. And I keep telling my wife, I've got to drop something, but the funny thing about it is every one of them is a ministry. And it's the first time in my life I feel a little conflicted in that. We'll give up this ministry, but they're all ministries. So I think the wise thing is going to be to find the right people to help me out and taking those over to keep these works of God continuing. Because even Decision Point Outdoors, one of the first times I've ever been involved in an outdoor TV show, that we get to share the gospel with people on national TV, I love that. So it's been a wonderful addition to all the many things I do. All right, so up there you can kind of see, I'm going to advise you guys to kind of look this way, because here's the way I do my presentation. I want you to learn something, first off. So we kind of have a lesson. There's going to be a quiz at the end, so pay close attention. But we're going to have a little lesson session, and then we're actually going to talk a little bit about the stories that I think you'll really enjoy. So let me start by introducing and tell myself a little bit more about me. So I do have 6 college degrees. Don't let that make you feel an all or nothing. They help me do that read and write arithmetic thing. That's about all they help me with. But no, I love that the Army has helped me get those. I've been an Army chaplain for about 18 years. So in other words, I got 2 years left to retirement. I can't believe that's coming. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. All right. I've been in ministry about 30 years. Been fishing for about 44 years. That was one of the trout that I caught in Alaska. Boy, that was fun. Been hunting about 39 years, Chappies Outdoors, since 2008, which is a ministry to wounded warriors, wounded veterans, of which I am one, and you have your brochures out there on the table. I've got some more up here if you're interested. Been a TV cameraman for various different outdoor TV shows since about 2009, and then lastly, I've been on hunting TV shows since about 2012, multiple. So some people like to ask me who all I've met, who I've hunted with. A lot of them, and it's too long to list now. But I can tell you, yes, some of the things you think about TV shows are true. Do they do some things that you go, there's something sketchy about that one? Yes, those are some of them. So I'm glad you get to hunt with some of the people that are wonderful Christian men in the outdoor industry that I think are great. So I'm going to talk about one or two of those tonight as well. All right, so right first off, I want to help you guys with lessons about, get this, taking harvest shots. I'm going to call them for the rest of the night hero shots. All right? That's what I like to call them. When you shoot your animal or you harvest an animal, taking that picture that you remember forever. You kind of see I've got some up here as well. Nowadays, these are some great devices that we carry that will do great photos. So what I'm going to help you with tonight is I'm going to help showing you how to take good photos. You're like, okay, this sounds like this is actually the fun part, if you ask me. I think you'll really enjoy this. You'll like the stories too. But here's the thing about photos like this. You look at it and you go, Chappy, why do you need to learn that? Well, let me show you right here. Anybody familiar with these organizations?
Yeah.
Okay, so you may not know this, but PETA has actually, it's not PETA that you probably need to worry about as much, but PETA grabs a hold of our social media posts when they see how the animals look disrespectful or whatever, and they will share that about everybody and tell them, y'all need to help us end hunting, because look what these hunters are doing. Look how bad they are. But, and you think PETA's the bad one to get this. You know, Humane Society are actually the ones that are attacking what they call trophy hunting the most. Humane Society. So the reason for taking good photo shots is you don't want to give ammunition to the anti-people for the sport that you love. That's the whole point of this. So I'm trying to help you to help preserve your heritage and the things that you love in the outdoors. So we'll have some fun with it. First off, get this. This was a photo that circulated internet-wide. This photo, because this whitetail time it was shot, the new world record, typical whitetail. And look, this is what circulated. Not some guy holding it out in the woods or nothing. You know why it circulated so much? People are like, look what they do to these deer. Look, guys, this is part of the process. You take it to the taxidermist or somebody, they're going to cut it off. But why did this have to be the one he shared? You know, he could have shared a number of different photos, but this is the one he shared, and they use it as ammunition against you. When you get trophy animals, like this one, taken in Tennessee by Stephen Tucker in 2016, 312.08 inches, Sumner County, Tennessee. I'm telling you what, man, that, 47 points, y'all. Bang, buck, right? Huge deer. That does it justice. Guess what? This one didn't circulate hardly at all. You see the difference? That one makes a lot of waves. Circulated everywhere. That one, not so much. Even though that is even more awesome, it's not always what you think, right? So let's go back to this. Let's ask ourselves, how do we do this? How do we take these good shots? Get this, whenever you sign up with a TV show to hunt with them, they send you a long, long document. I think I hate to have one with me, but a long document. Here's how you set up a deer for every foot. I'm not kidding. And they want to make sure you do it. From everything to tucking the legs, tongue. I want to talk about it, matter of fact. So let's start with this. First off, they tell you to make sure the rack is skylit or get something dark. So actually, one of the reasons why our show has black shirts is we put them on under every one of our camo uniforms. Take off the camo shirt, put this against the black. I mean, tell you what, you can see every one of those points against it. You know, as it, I mean, you'll see it against the black shirt. Watch, I'll show you photos tonight, and you will not be able to make out some of the points on a rack when they're up against the camo shirt. So that's one of the reasons. The next thing, look at his hat. Now, this is kind of cool. I tell people this all the time. And he's got a Black Eagle Arrows hat on, okay? Now, when you take a photo, if it is going to circulate amongst the right people, you might want to have the right hat on because get this. Some people have earned sponsorships, donations. Hey, we saw your photo all over social media. We'd like to, you know, give you one of those Matthews bows that was on your hat. Ooh, I like that idea. So in other words, wear your, you know, Mercedes, Lamborghini hats, things like that. Of course. But so bottom line, hats, things like that. Also look at the face. I mean, it may sound weird that I got a train on this. I tell this to people all the time. I'll show you some photos tonight. There are some guys that it's like, can you at least look like you're happy you shot the animal? I mean, the animal has a better grin on its face than you. You wait. I've got a photo that proves it. It happens. All right? Okay, the mouth. Okay, this is a big one. You know what I'm talking about right here for those of you who haven't heard it. What's the typical way of your looks on most of the photos? You ready for it? Okay, you can literally just take 2 seconds, stuff that thing back in the mouth, shut it back up, and take a photo. Or, if you got a knife, cut it off if you're worried about it. Keep falling out. I don't know. Pick something to do different. And then get this, you can grab a clump of grass, dirt, or whatever, wipe off the blood around the mouth. Make it look nice. Okay, just try. All right. Now, you see this area? I'm going to go back a little. Where that arrow's hitting right there? There's a little, looks like a dirt spot on his back, right? That's where the blood was. You know, most people don't think to do it, but you grab dirt and stuff, rub it all over that, and cover it up, you never even know that there was a hole in the animal. I mean, I'm not kidding. And it makes it look good, right? This thing looks like he might be alive, ready to run away from the guy any moment. So, all right. The next thing, sometimes if you want, what you can also do is use your gun or your bow to cover up the hole. That's another item. Okay. And that's, these are all things I've learned. Now, the next one is pointing at the background. Now, this is the funny thing about it. You think I don't need to train on this either, but the funny thing is, where do we see the background of most deer? I don't know where these guys come, but there's a lot of people killing deer in the back of truck beds. I don't know where they're driving these trucks at. It's definitely not Missouri, right? But the bottom line is, why not take it and remember where you got the animal from? If you look at some of mine, I love it. I'll show people some of those photos, and they're like my elk. I've got a photo of that one that I'll show you later on this. And you'll see big old huge cactus pile next to it. You're like, you shoot that in Texas? Elk? Texas has elk? That's where I shop. All right. Also, make sure you kind of brush the fur. You kind of just get any of the dirt off of it, grass, things like that. As a matter of fact, I'm pointing at the grass because sometimes it'll be too tall and it'll cover up the animal, the face of it, stuff like that. Just take a few seconds, pull it away. All right. And also make sure you tuck the legs up underneath it. It props the head up a little bit better. And that last one, where did it point? Oh, the hands. So a lot of people will do this. When they're holding up the rack, like if I'm holding this one, they'll do something like this. Man, that's cool. Did it have brow tines, by the way? Oh, not cover that up. Yeah, that's really. Did you see the crown on the upper right of that thing? No, oh, I'm sorry. So in other words, put your hand down the back of them. Let everybody see everything you got. And I'll be proud of it, in other words. Okay, so, all right. I've showed you a lot of different points about this. This is enough. Now that you got the look, I'm going to do a couple other little things. I'm going to show you examples, some of the common mistakes and stuff like that. And then I'm going to give you a chance, and the quiz is going to take place. All right? Make sure you pay attention to your lessons. Okay? I saw some of you already sleeping. All right. So this is the old bed of the pickup truck, right? See it on the left? Now look on the right. And notice that's in the field. But again, it's not skyline. It's not against the black shirt. Can you tell how many points it has with it up against that camo shirt? You can, right? And then on the left, you kind of can. But again, it's like, I know where he shot it, and I like where he shot it, but he didn't really give that a very good showcase either. So, better the pickup truck. Such a common view. Now, if you're going to do it, at least do it right. Because in Missouri, I know you guys get like 12 bug tags, right? So do it this way. Pastor, I'm sorry if you got guys getting arrested later after we teach you this. Seriously, I know you guys don't get that many. But honestly, I was like, I saw that photo, I'm like, I gotta throw that on there. Look at that. Right? That's a pickup truck bed photo right there. Now, anybody know who this guy is? Anybody? This nobody ever really gets this. The reason why I show this is it educates you on one more feature. Even celebrities do it. This guy, the owner of Bass Pro Shops, is Johnny Morris. This is his son. That's for tons of TV shows. Look, he's just got as nice a truck bed as the rest of us, I guess. So that's one of his photos, one of his biggest deer. In the pickup truck bed. Now it works apparently these days for ATVs too. Deer are getting in the back of these things. You believe this? Look at that. Yeah, I don't know what to say to that, except if you're talented enough to fit a whole moose on an ATV, I don't know about you. So, that's fitting them in the back of an ATV right there, right? I don't even know where the guy's going to sit. I think the moose is driving. All right. Next one. So, this was for me to just kind of tell you, look, I get it. I know I'm kind of making fun. For a long time, over history, we've been able to drive around with our deer on the hood. Everybody will call, wave, congratulations. I wanted to give you a little piece. This is an article that was written by the Meat Eater Dad, Steve Rinella, if you know him from the TV shows. And so he wrote this back in 2019. There's actually an 85% approval rating of most hunters. And there's even an 80% approval rating of us having them displayed as we drive down the road. So look, I know it's not a big issue. I know it's not a real big issue. I'm just trying to protect those issues that do come up. I don't want you guys to get riled up over this or nothing anyways. But so I think that just reminds us we come from a rich heritage of being proud of our sport. We really do, if nothing else, right? And if you're getting tired of my sermon or my message here already, just like this guy, this guy was hauling his deer out, and I guess he got tired in the bottom of this little valley, and his friends came back found him this way. So some of these dinners I go and speak at, people afterwards were like, do you accept some photos? Oh, I got some great photos I'd love to send you. And so they told me this story and said, use it in one of your shows one of these times. And so now I'm using it. I think it's kind of funny. All right, so next one. All right, so what about those nighttime shots? Because they happen. You harvest a deer late at night. You want to show it. What do you guys think of those deer? There are deer in the photo. I know you can't see them. There's about seven of them down at the bottom, and there's about eight veterans on their knees right in front of it. See, that's the problem. Nighttime shots are hard to do. Even at their greatest, when we light them up a little bit, you might get the shadows on the face like that. This is better. But again, now you can't see the little hook on one of the points because it's up against against camo. This is just, I get it, it's hard to do, but you gotta light it up and you just gotta tell people, hey, endure the brightness. That's my daughter's first ever white tub. Look at that girl, she's spoiled. Look at that button, right? I never shot one that big. All right, so, but the bottom line, you just gotta tell people, look, I'm gonna blind you with the lights, be ready, here it comes, endure for the photo, right? So here's the lesson learned, again, is what you've already heard me talk about. All the lessons from that one guy, and now you've seen some of the other pieces. So here's the part where the police comes in. You guys ready? Got pens ready? Okay, actually, hold me in. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show the photos. You guys call out what you see, ways in which these can be improved. What do you think about this one first?
Hold it by the ear.
Huh?
Hold it by the ear.
Oh, this is dumb. I guess we're going to hold it. But yeah, it looks a little... It's like, hey, come here. Would you take a photo?
Tongue sticking out.
Tongue sticking out. That should be noticed, yeah. What else? The gun. Okay, thanks for mentioning that. I don't want to talk about the gun here. Anything else?
The tongue.
The tongue, yeah. So, what about the terrain? Is this where he shot it? What do you think? What do you say? I think we said he shot all the neighbors and he had to get it back on his property. Is that what you say? You think like I do. Okay. No, but in all seriousness, he actually did shoot it right next to the ATV. Isn't that funny? So they were doing this. Virginia does need to dog drive hunts. It's a weird thing. Not a fan, but I did it with our parents because they loved it. These deer were running out of the woods with this guy. He shot it. He set out of self-defense and it died near his cherry was sitting on, so. All right, pretty neat. Now, I wanted to just show that even for other animals other than deer, apparently the pickup truck bed works. These are ducks. But I mean, what do you think, what can we do with ducks? Where can we put them to show? How do you guys do it for a trauma? Where do they do this flame?
On the line.
On the line? Maybe across the blue wall or something?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just wondering. But here's another thing to note about this photo. Where's everybody looking? It's like, okay, you ready? And the other person on the other end goes, yeah, take the photo. You know what? The guy's over here taking the photo. So one of my points about this, as you'll see in some of the others, is it doesn't hurt to sound a little bit weird. Go ready, one, two, three. You know, ready, one, two. It tells people I'm taking the photo right now. I'm going to walk out of scene or... I mean, the dog's the only one looking at you. All right. What about these? All right. You knew we were going to bring it up. Right? I mean, that is a classic way of the size of that. We all do it, don't we? I mean, who loves doing that? I think it's kind of good. They actually, I don't know if you can see the girl on the left part of the photo. She's actually got her hands on the, man, they put some time into this one. So if you're going to do it, you know, do it right. But, yeah, clearly stuff like this, we're all like, I know what you did. All right. Wait a minute. Who's that guy? That wasn't supposed to be in there. I think I mentioned something about celebrities messing it up earlier. Let's go past that real quick. All right. Anyways. So, this photo is a neat little education piece. You see anything wrong about it first? Things that could be improved or something like that. Yeah, sometimes, you know, you want the gun kind of maybe to lay in a safe direction, you don't point it at yourself, right? But you also kind of want it to, yeah, I don't know. So, let me tell you a little bit about the photo. This is Charlie Alzheimer, famous outdoor writer and photographer. And he shot this buck. When they recovered it, it was ate up by a coyote, a bunch of coyotes back in. So this is how you could possibly still get a good, nice photo when the back end's all chewed up. So, I think it's pretty clever, honestly. So, all right. Next one. Yeah. Okay, so that's one creative way to bring your gear back home, correct? I don't know if I would have displayed it on the internet. Honestly, I think it's really ingenious. I'm a little jealous I didn't think of it, but it's probably because I don't have a Jeep. But, yeah, that's not the best way to display your deer on the internet. Well, so... You know, I do travel a lot for my hunts, and when I travel, I try to think, how am I going to get the deer back? So I found some photos to help me out with that. Now, what do you think? Store it in the rental car, and then put it in your luggage. luggage, right?
Yeah.
I honestly think it was kind of Photoshop, really, right? But, yeah, I guess you can travel with your deer, apparently. All right, what about sticking an arrow in the rack? What do you think?
No.
Who's in favor of it? What do you think? Anybody in favor of it? Nope, not in favor of it? Raise your hand. Okay, everybody's not. I just was kind of curious. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know, does that look right? But have you ever heard of the guy that put his rifle in the rack of the deer and it wasn't dead and it ran off with the rifle still in the rack? Imagine that if you're sitting in the tree stand, you see the deer running through the woods and you go, oh, that's a bonus. I don't care how big he is. Another night shot, side profile versus front. What do you think? Do you think we ought to show the side of the animal when we can?
Yeah.
Man, I think so too. I like the side. You got to show the body size, right? But sometimes the front needs to be the only thing shown because the back needs ate up. Or maybe there's something wrong with it. This was in Africa, a friend of mine, a veteran. Another night shot. All right. Camo clothing. Now, this happened at Tron Peterson's first ever wounded veteran hunt. I was on there and got to help with the TV show. It was pretty cool. But what you can't see in this photo due to the camo, I'm going to show a little bit better just to showcase. Look right there at the brow time. It's split. That's a really cool feature about the rack, but if we go back to there, could you see it before? So that's my point. If you put it against a black shirt, a solid shirt, or against the skyline off to the side of you, and get a look at the camera and get a little bit lower, you'll see it better. So, all right, firearm awareness. We've already talked about that, but take a look at this gun on this lady on the left. Doesn't it look like it's pointed right at her? That doesn't look safe to me. And the guy on the right is one of the most well-known outdoor hunters there are, Larry Weissman, and he loves to handgun hunt, and it looks like he's got it pointed at his arm, right? My point in all of this is just be aware, because it's more about safety, not about your photo and people circulating here. I just want you to be safe. Because I just came back from the last hunt this last July for Grizzly, where a friend of mine had his gun on his backpack next to his Grizzly he shot, went over to grab it, and it just went off, and it nearly shot our guy. So you gotta be careful with your gun. Make sure it's unloaded, make sure it's on safe, all those kind of things before you go place it on that, and please don't hurt yourself just over a good photo. All right, be also aware of your emotions. Now, the guy on the left, he looks really happy, but I think that can be really misunderstood. Plus, he probably needs to watch where that arrow is.
Yeah.
But look, I told you I'd show you this photo. Look at the guy on the right. I'm telling you, the antelope looks like it's smiling. You see it? Right? I'm telling you, it's a real thing. He is not happy he shot that antelope. That's what I get. All right. Now there's a guy that looks like he's happy. You know? Face paint or not? Right? I don't wear this stuff. I think, you know, I probably need way too much of it to cover it all up. But bottom line, I think that's a pretty happy look. This guy even looks a little bit happier too. Took a pretty good photo, right? This is what I call prop shots. Sometimes you gotta hold that head up just right off the ground. You know, in Africa, they actually will stick sticks into the ground, shove it into the several times I'll stick it up the nostril, so I'm like, awesome, if you start to get into this, just be careful. I've seen a guy run something straight out the nostril, then you don't have a very good looking photo. So, prop shots. Okay, here's one. Taking photos of a wonderful pheasant out with some wounded veterans, and look at where they're all looking. Actually, there's even a guy on the far right of it. He's walking out of the scene. I'm the guy taking the photo, and I didn't tell him, you know, 1, 2, 3. So I lost out. I would have rather had a much better photo. So you just got to be aware. I mean, be aware of the people and everything that's around you when you're taking the photo, because look what can happen. Can you believe that? That really happened. I guess, watch your dog. Okay. Now, lastly, I'm going to show you some other photos of me. So, I kind of wonder if I'm starting to improve with this. Now, I've got that same photo over here, so it's cutting off in that photo, and you don't get to see the full deer, right? That wasn't good. But I cropped it wrong, is really what that is. I do have a full deer over there on the top photo. So that was 2017. I'm trying to get better at this. I'm hunting for more shows. So here's my next one. I think I'm getting a little bit better. That was 2019. And you can kind of tell where it's at. See the big cactus plant on the right? Most of you guessed Texas. You'd be guessing right. Here's my elk that I shot in 2021. Again, I think I'm getting a little bit better. But then I did 2022. The best thing we shot was gators. I didn't know how to take the photos well. I think we did all right. But it's, I'm like, I didn't take a photo of those things. So if you really want to know, I scared my wife. Okay? Here's what I did. I told her before I went down to Florida, I said, I will wrestle a gator while I'm down there. You need to know this. I was in wrestling all the way through college. I love wrestling. So you know I've always wanted to wrestle a gator. She's like, I know you're kidding. I was like, I'm not kidding. I'm wrestling a gator while I'm down there. So I text my photos to my wife after I get down there, and she texts back, she goes, did you what? So I text a photo of me on the ground with the gator I shot with its arm like up like this, and I'm like running. And the next one I'm laying on it, and I'm like smacking the ground, and I know I did not share that with anybody else but my wife. I don't want that out on the internet. But I was like, and then I threw it over my back. By the way, I shouldn't have done that. But I threw it over my back and I walked out. So I sent her photo after photo. I said, wrestle the gator, I pinned him, and I hauled him out of the swamps. Your man's coming up. So that was a 10-foot gator. 10-foot gator. I didn't lift him up because I ain't that strong, y'all. You know, that's not a look. Alright. Now, what about the kiddos? I mean, come on, the kiddos taking them out. That's the fun stuff right here. But sometimes they don't want to be there. Look at that little girl on the far right, right? And even if you were able to see their faces, the little boy on the far left, I mean, this is a cool shot. Those bear hanging out like they are over those logs, that's neat. But these kids do not want to be there. If you can see the kid on the far left, he's not happy. The one next to his sister that's wiping her face, she's not happy. I mean, I think it's just funny. So pay attention to the kiddos. You're never going to get them all to be happy. I get it, but it's just kind of fun. I love seeing shots like this. You don't have to ask. Is she happy she shot that animal? You know it from the photos. That's just cool, right? I mean, look at this one too, right? You don't have to ask. That says it all. I don't care how good the photo is. When they look like that, I'm like, man, it was all worth it. What about this one, too? Take that, Tina. Right? This is my first one, and I'm just getting started. All right. Well, look, that's my lesson portion. I want you to hear my fun stories. I got a lot of stories. And I could probably talk to you guys for a long time. I'm going to try to get through these stories and just make it kind of brief. I first started filming with Adventure Bound Outdoors Television. It's a lot of fun. That got me in and got me noticed by people. I started as a cameraman, and that's how I got noticed. And slowly people were like, hey, how would you like to be on the front side of that camera? I'm like, well, you know, I'm a little shy. Yeah, you're laughing because I'm not, right? But so, in all honesty, I got out in front of the camera, started liking that, and I guess it's just never stopped. The guy on the right, what I want to kind of tell you about is, I think for me, what hunting has been about is the memories made. That guy on the right, I want to talk a little bit about tonight, and you'll hear it a couple times here. His name's Richard. Just a really cool story. He's one of the first ever veterans I ever took hunting. Still a very close friend of mine, going through hardships and struggles right now. We're both the exact same age. And so right there was one of his most memorable moments. I got to share with him and film the whole thing. So a lot of wonderful memories made. I mean, when I look at this next one, too, the guy that's, I'm holding my camera on the tripod there, the guy to my right, who were left in the photo, his name's Rhino. He's the guy that owns all this property in Texas, like, I don't know, it's like 12,000 acres. I got him up with him almost for free regularly just because we're friends, not because of my connections with TV and stuff. I love that guy is helping me out, making me look good by him letting me hunt things that he lets me hunt. So, wonderful trip when I first got to meet him a long time ago, and we've become friends ever since. This is C.J. Winan on the left of me, in the left part of the photo there. He's a Christian celebrity for Bull Hunter TV, one of the biggest shows on the Outdoor Channel. This guy's been around for a long time. Whenever they write the deer reports right here, they actually consult him. He's one of the best well-known wildlife deer biologists in the country. He helps write those deer reports for every state every year. That's him. And I get to hunt with him. Loves Christ, loves Jesus. He's a great guy. And so he's one of the guys I like to film the most. And then I've got other memories that I've made. Memories with this guy on the left. This is another veteran. Memories that they don't go away even if we lose guys like this. And I didn't have to lose him. He died a few years back. One of our veterans, he lost his leg. But, you know, one of the things about that memory is I'm helping guys through this program that have lost a leg that they never are going to be able to get in the outdoors again, never be able to do an elk hunt, and I helped him do his dream hunt there on that. And so he got his elk. Pretty cool. I'm not proud of the photo. I've trained you guys already on what we want them to do, but that's all right. I'm like, look, I can't teach everybody and get them to do it right every time. I just, that one of my favorite photos. This is another one. This is a Marine who was a 3-time Purple Heart recipient that I got to learn that I not only befriend these guys through this program, but also their entire families. So even though he's a Marine, he might have an Army chaplain, I guess. But the bottom line, when he passed away, I was probably the only Army chaplain ever invited by a Marine's family to do the funeral at Arlington. One of the most highly decorated Marines to be buried there in a long time, and every Navy chaplain wanted to have the privilege of doing his funeral, and they were all refused by the family because of how much I'd gotten to know him. So Jeremy is his name. Wonderful guy. And you know, when I think about memories, I think we all can remember where we were and what we were doing. For some of you, this one pulls back a memory for you. For some of you kids out there, you're not going to know what that one's referring to. It's a little before your time. But the bottom line is you might remember where you were at, who you were with, who you called first. All the things that come to mind when you see something like this, it drags up those memories again. It does the same when you look at racks or maps on the wall or pictures when they're done right. Memories are made for a lifetime. And we've got memories about that. Some of you may remember this one. Where you were at, what you were doing, I remember exactly where I was when I was doing for that one, when the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded. That's been a couple days ago now. Or what about this one? A little bit more recent. Most of all of us can remember. It's hard for me to believe now that that's been as long ago as it has been. 20 years. It's crazy, right? But we can remember where we were. I can remember the first person I had to run and go tell. My wife is still sleeping, by the way. But I had to go tell her. She catches the sleep that I don't get to catch with all the things I do. So I remember those kind of things. So for me, where did it start? You remember your first time? Remember your first fishing trip? Anybody remember those? Nobody? This is head nods. You do? Okay. I remember my first hunt. This is my grandfather. He got me into hunting. And my first hunt was what's on the right of here. You know what those are? Anybody? Huh? They're quail. Bobwhite quail. So I went hunting for those. Upland bird. Now, my first hunt, I'm going to tell you how this went. My grandpa told me, I'm going to get you into hunting. Here's how this is going to go. You're going to carry this weapon. So he hands me a gun. And I look at this and I'm like, this doesn't look like my cousin's gun. He's been hunting for a couple years. This looks a little lighter. And I'm like, check it out. I said, where's the shotgun shells go? He goes, that's a pop gun. A little BB gun pop gun. He goes, I want you carrying that for the whole first year. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Obviously, I know better. But so he hits me that gun and he says, I want you to carry this the whole first year. So the first time we go out, I mean, the quail are giving up and I'm over there like, can't enjoy this, watch them fly away. I'm not enjoying myself, you know. He comes over there and he's like, you make sure you're throwing your gun and shooting those birds. I'm like, hey, Paul, I'm going to pop. You know, they ain't going to do nothing. What? He says, you're supposed to, if you're going to do this, you're going to enjoy every part of it. I'm teaching you now. So I start acting like I'm shooting birds. We go a little bit further, and I'm walking through the woods. I'm beating down the trees with it, and I'm sticking it in the mud and walking through, you know, and leaning on it. He comes over, he takes that thing and goes, is this the way you're going to treat a gun? You ain't hunting with me anymore. So I learned how to treat a gun properly, learn where to point it, how to point it for the whole first year before you ever even hand me a gun. Then he hands me a gun. You know what the first hunt was that we went for? Anybody know what that was? Purchase. Somebody said it. Not everybody knows who said it. Yeah, preaching. Not everybody knows what that means. That's in Kansas. And so here's the way this works. These things come flying out in the morning. They fly out of this dam and they fly out of this open field. And the way they get up, they're like, oh, there they are. They look like they're coming fast. And it looks like they just hang. And they're coming and they're coming and they just fly by you like jets. And so usually you point at one flying and shoot one about two behind it, you know? You You've got to lead them a long ways. Well, so we're sitting over this field. Keep in mind, I've never hunted before. Sitting over this field, it's dark in the morning. Opening day in Kansas for prairie chicken, the whole road is lined with orange. You would have fit in really well, by the way. So, whole road's lined with orange, cars everywhere. Everybody's waiting for these chickens to come over the hill. And so we're all sitting there, and the first bird comes up. Is that one grandpa? He goes, no, it's a crow. Next one, that's an eagle. Stop it. That's a hawk. Will you just stop? And finally, this one comes up. Is that? He goes, yes, that's a chicken. Boom! Shoot. Now, look. The dam was about a half mile away where this bird got up. You know how the effective range of 20 acres is not a half mile. I don't think I'd have made it across the room with my aim. But the bottom line, right after I pulled that trigger, I guarantee you, everybody down that line, so I messed up the whole one my first time, but I loved it. I'll never forget those kind of things. Those memories, I can make fun of myself, right? I can use it in an illustration like today. Then I started hunting these things. Pheasant, beautiful creature. Whenever those things get up, I get so nervous I just be throwing them. I didn't hit one, okay, ever, actually. You're not, like, starting to believe that I actually shot some of the animals, are you? I did not hit any of them that ever flew up in front of us. And then I get older. I'm not kidding. This was 2017. I'm on a little bit better, man. And they go, hey, you know, a lot of the guys don't want to go out for the pheasant hunt. We got several birds out there. And love to take you. You just take some of the slots and come out and shoot some pheasants with us. I'm like, twist my arm. Let's go do this. So I go out, and with this guy, I shot my first ever pheasant. 2017, after hunting them since, you know, I was like 8 years old. So, took me a little while, but I got one. Now it's a mountain. So, and then I went on a deer hunt and shot a really nice buck at Peter Scott Moore Ministries, and that kind of started the rest of my career. Now, for me, we do this thing in my family. I don't know if you guys do this, but we do this thing of first. Your first buck, your first deer, your first exotic animal, your first time you had a root beer when you were sitting in a stand. I mean, I don't care what it is. If it's a first and the girls can think of it, my two daughters say, I get to keep something from the time when I had my first, right? So our deal was always that. We go on a hunt and you shoot your first of something, you get to keep something from it. The pelt, the rack, whatever it may be. So that's my daughter's first ever animal. It was a black buck antelope dove. And it was her first. So I'm like, what do with this thing? So I had to learn how to tame hides. So I actually went back to the pack, but I have her hide still today. Black buck antelope. So that was a first. Then my daughter, her first that she ever shot with a crossbow, I guess, was the target, so I had to keep it. But we had a lot of good times with her. She got into archery competitions and stuff. And then she decided she was good enough. She went out, and she's, there it is, right there. She shot her first ever animal as a mule deer buck. I never even shot one. And in full velvet. So I didn't have the whole thing. By the way, after that, I got into texting her, because these girls are going to cost me a fortune. So, but the other one, my oldest, Hannah, there, she shot that black buck a little bit later, her 17th birthday. So I mounted that one for her. And I mean, they were starting to come up with things. We go on hunts and they were like, Dad, this is the first time we ever listened to a Casting Ground song on my phone when the deer came in. So I get it. I mean, I'm like, what? They were coming up with stuff. So yeah, the girls are costing me money, clearly. But, you know, we do this. We want to keep the memories. We keep them alive. And so you collect stuff, right? And it reminds us. This one is a photo I'll never forget. This one is my best friend, Mike. He and I went to Bible college together. And he graduated a year before me, headed to Pennsylvania to start a church. He passed away. But before he did, he and I got to join some turkey up together. And I had a great time with him. His wife later would end up giving me that 10 gauge that he's holding right there. But one of the classic photos I treasure still to this day. And I will not forget, anytime I go out and use that gun, I go this home. And you know what happens to each of you too? You've got something that you keep and hold on to that does the same thing for you with your fishing or your hunting or things like that. This one I showed you earlier, his name's Charlie. That man, when he first contacted me, he said, hey, I'm holding up to go out on a trip with you, your organization. And I said, well, you know, you got to apply because I did. I said, have you ever applied to any of these programs before? There's a lot out there. He goes, yeah, I applied to all of them. So I start talking to some of my guys on the board, and they go, I don't know if we should take it. Sounds like he's trying to mooch off all the systems. So I called him back, and I thought, well, I'll just be blunt. That's kind of the way I am as an officer in the Army. So I said, hey, I got a question for you. Are you really trying to just mooch off all the systems? I mean, if you're applying to that many, he goes, I got a question right back at you there, Chappie. He goes, if you were out of a job, would you apply at only one place and help you get it, or would you apply at several? He goes, I haven't been ever given one. I said, how's help sound? Help sound? I liked his answer. So, I gave him this elk hunt. Now, on that elk hunt, get this, when they called me up, they said, we're looking for 4 veterans, and we've heard you actually help schedule some of these. You're a veteran, a wounded veteran as well. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, then how would you like to go ahead and come on this hunt with us? We're going to fly a private jet to Virginia and pick you guys up and take you all the way out to Montana for an elk hunt. I've never shot an elk. I'm like, Well, I quickly learned, if I'm going to make this program work, it can't be about me going on the hunt, so I gave away all 4 slots. I don't regret it. This guy needed that hunt far more than I did. So it took me 10 years. 10 years later, each year I couldn't resist. I wanted to keep on going on hunts for elk after that. 10 years later, I finally got mine. I tried 9 other times, y'all, and finally I got one. So believe me, I'm very proud of mine. It didn't come back on a private jet, mind you, but I definitely had a great time, and what a memory. Now, this guy also went on the trip. The guy on the far right is a double-leg amputee. He's amputated right here, y'all. That is one of the toughest amputations when it's above the knee. This guy's name is Christian, and this is the story I want to tell you. One of the biggest ones I want to make sure I get across to you guys. This was powerful. So I was working as the chaplain for the Walter Reed Bethesda Hospital up in D.C. area. Now, the nurses knew that I had this kind of very outgoing personality, I guess. I don't really see it. But so they come to me and say, hey, we've got this Marine that is really down on himself. He's just beating himself up. He actually talks about suicide a lot. He's in his bed down the hall. We really think that he needs somebody to perk him up, get him going again. And we want you to go in and visit with him. I'm like, why not? Let's go on in there. So first thing I do when I walk in that room is I look on the wall and I see a picture of an elk. I'm like, I can talk to this guy. So I see that picture of that elk on the wall, and I was like, huh. I said, you like hunting? He goes, ain't you ever going to do that again? I said, all right, I can see where this conversation is going. What I'm thinking in my mind. So I said, I'll tell you what. I said, if you will get off your hobby horse, get off your messed up attitude here, or whatever you got going on, if you will agree to work your butt off, get out of that bed, I'm going to put you on an elk hunt where you can actually shoot an elk. Okay, now, first off, let me stop and say something, y'all. I've never said something like that in my life because I've never been given an elk hunt up to that moment when I said that. I don't have no connections. I don't know where I can send this guy. I was like saying that, and as I'm saying it, going, why did I just say that? How am I going to provide that? Where's that going to come from? What are you saying, Chad? And I said that to the guy, and he goes, you're just a chaplain. I said, look, we got a deal about it. He goes, I don't know. I said, I'll tell you what, here's the deal. You work your butt off to get out of that bed, I'll put you on an elk hunt, and we're going to have a conversation about Jesus. That's my deal. I said, because I want you out of that bed, you want out of that bed, and want to shoot an elk, right? He goes, I've never shot one. I said, you're going to get one. We're going to make it happen. You need to get out of that bed, though. You're going to have to work to do it. He goes, all right, chaplain, I'm going to call your bluff. Reaches up, shakes my hand, he goes, let's do this thing. I said, all right, I'll be back when I get you up, and I walk out. This is stupid. What am I saying? I'm not kidding, y'all. This is literally happening. I go about 3 or 4 doors down the hallway. My phone rings. I look at it, and I don't recognize the number. I'm like, why not? It wasn't during the day when they say potential spam. So I'm like, I look at it, don't recognize the book. Says, hello, this is retired Brigadier General Johnson. I'm calling to speak to a chappie that helps out with some wounded veterans. I says, yes, sir, I do. This is he. And he goes, well, I'm calling you to offer you an elk hunt. I said, is this a prank? I mean, is this somebody that listened to the last conversation I just had? He goes, chaplain, I assure you, I'm not joking. He goes, I called you to hook you up with an elk hunt. That was the Montana elk hunt on the private jet that this guy calls me about. When he calls me and tells me this, I'm looking at the phone. I cannot believe what I'm hearing. And I'm like, sir, I said, you got to hear this. I said, you have got to stay on the phone with me and go. I'm going back down to a room and you've got to talk to this soldier, or I mean this Marine. And he goes, what's going on? So I tell him my whole story. He goes, Chaplain, you got to walk me into that room. I said, literally, God had you call me today, sir. I said, so we're going. I walked down back in the room and I said, hey, Christian, ready to have a talk about Jesus? He goes, nah, really? I said, yeah. I said, you got a general you need to talk to about your elk hunt. Jaw like on the floor. There he is. He got his elk.
As I talked to him about Jesus, he definitely believed. He was like, I need to hear about this guy who served, so we have to pray and see him receive Christ that day in the hospital.
Pretty cool. Alright. Then there's this guy, Jeremy. Obviously, you heard my story about him. He'd given up on life. And so he was contemplating suicide. Every year it was always around the same time. So I started to pick up on that. So I started making sure I was always on the phone with this guy every year in December around the same time. Bugging him, talking to him, being his friend, traveling, seeing if I needed to do sense to him. The night of him and his family, always making sure I was there for him around the same time. Because he lost men that he believed he should have been killed and not them. And it just always ate at him. So I spent time with this guy over the years. And then finally I pulled him into our ministry. And my whole board really disagreed with this, and I'm actually going to preach on this tomorrow in church. I'm talking about Luke 15, where, you know, Jesus loves the lost. He loves those that are not, that don't know him. And he's, the Pharisees and people looking at him, why is he associating with sinners and people? This is not the kind of person we want to see in a prophet or a Messiah like him. Why is he doing that? He's really stepping out there, you know, being with those sinners and such. I invited Jeremy to come in and serve on our board. Him and gave him purpose to live. You know what he did? We went to his SCI banquet. That's a Safari Club International. Deep pockets. That's all you need to know. They raffle off a belt buckle and get like, you know, $1,800 or something. They're crazy. I don't know. So I take him there. We're both dressed in our dress vest uniform, looking really sad. He's got all these bling. This guy served like 30 years. Tons of medals. And so we were raffling off some basic money from Chappies Out Horse. He comes over to me and he pulls off the purple heart and he goes to hand it to me. I said, whoa, whoa, I ain't touching that. He goes, no, no, no. Raffle this off for the program. I want to see some of the vets get what I've got. Man, it just broke my heart. For a guy to be willing to offer that because he sees the impact that our ministry had in his life. At that show that night, I got to talk to him about his act of service and how Christ did something similar for him on the cross, did something similar for you on the cross. He received Christ as his Savior through that instant. And then years later, I got to do the one thing me and him never could do. We hunted for 5 years together in the same place on the eastern shore of Maryland. For those right there, that is the sika deer. By the way, that's a rather large stag. Not only that, but it's also a hind. So that's like saying buck and doe, so a stag and a hind. I shot two with my bow on the same night. Oh, man. It was like I was just in tears thinking about Jeremy through the whole hunt. Memories. You never lose them, right? The guy on the far right in the photo is Jimmy Seitz of Spiritual Outdoor Adventures. Some of you may know his TV show. One of the longest running outdoor TV shows. Went on an outdoor hunt with him where we took Sam and Diane Center, a little bit better. On a boat fishing trip for snakehead fish in the Potomac River in D.C. Really cool fish. It looks like a snake, right? And you're shooting it with bows. That guy, we kept him up till 4 in the morning for 2 nights in a row. He had to be exhausted. Wake him up the next morning, and we're talking with him about this family that he sees that we seem to have. We all get along so well. A bunch of these Christian guys hunting with him, and he's like, I want to be a part of something like that. I'm out of the Army now. I miss the camaraderie, the family that I had. So I introduced him to the family of God, and he got to receive Christ as his Savior as well. And then this guy on the far right was my cameraman for that night. His name's Brian. And on that trip, I never knew the impact I was to have in this guy's life until literally last year. His father is a pastor and a friend of mine. And so he called me up and he said, hey, I'd like you to come out. We visited a little bit and said, I've always wanted to thank you for something. I said, what's that? And he goes, that you've bought my son in your ministry. I said, okay. Yeah, he was a good cameraman. He goes, no, no, no. He goes, you don't know where he was headed in his life. He goes, just by you
Living the life he lived in front of him, he saw something different, and he wanted it back in his life. He goes, my son was headed down into a really dark place in his life, and it all turned around just by what he saw in you. And he's now serving with his father in his church out in North Carolina. He's actually the one I'm hoping will take over Chappie's Outdoors so I can pastor a church. Wonderful man. This one's a really cool story too. April in the center is a quadriplegic. You know what that means? It means she has no use of any appendage, right? But for whatever reason, she has one muscle that works on this right arm. One that allows her to just pull her arm this way. So get this. She is the first that we can see anyways. First quadriplegic we've ever taken on a hunt that killed a deer on her own accord without one of those blow devices or something like that in their mouth. She literally would take and we lock the gun down in a vise, she'd pull it. Anybody who shoots a gun knows if you go and pull a gun like this, it's going to pull to the right with every shot. But we learn to play the shot. It's like playing in golf. I don't play golf, but it's like playing a shot, right? So we learn to play it, and she'd pull, and that thing, and we're like, okay, let's take it a little bit this way. So we take her out, trying to get her first deer in this action track chair with a gun in a vise, and every day I'm filming her, these deer walk out, and you know what? Get it, but deer don't seem to cooperate. I know you're laughing, but it happens. You ever watch this? They walk out and like feeding you, like, okay, they're sitting still enough. She's getting, and she's over there going, okay, up a little bit, and then moving up, kick down, left, and then it goes like this. And, oh, sorry, move a little bit more left, and then it does this, and it's okay, move a little bit more left, and then, oh, you're going to have to go back right. How many of you get frustrated? All morning long, 4 days, she's had it. She's mad. She's frustrated. She goes on the 5th day and the final day of the hunt. I'm not going back out tomorrow morning. She tells us on the 4th evening. Me and Ken, he's a pastor in the local area. This is in Pennsylvania. Her husband, Joseph, is on the far right. But me and Ken sit down for that night. We're trying to talk her to go back out. We're like, we want to see you go back out. We're so close. We're going to make it happen. She's like, it ain't going to happen. We've tried. They just will not stand still for 20 minutes so I can chew. Oh, that's right. I said, let's pray. Ken goes, okay. So we all bow our heads and I'm praying. I said, Lord, we need your help tomorrow. We need you to reach down and hold a deer and just tell him, I'm going to require your life. We need to help this lady out. So I'm going to hold you. Just say, I'm going to hold you. I need your help. Can you do that for me? I know it's awful for us, but I think she wants to come to know you, and I think she's going to help us put her over the edge. So we pray that prayer. Ken comes over to me and goes, I don't really know if that was a prayer. He's a pastor, remember? He's like, that felt really weird. I said, I know. It did for me too. It felt like I just had to say it, though, in front of her. Maybe go up out. So we wake up in the morning, we go talk to her, she's like, I'd like to go out. Wow, she changed her mind. Let's go do this. So we're sitting out there. I swear it's the same two doe that come out, that have been coming out for 4 days straight in front of her little body. And this doe comes out, and I've never seen this in my life. This doe walks out, and it's feeding on what I can't tell if it looks like it's bare concrete or what. There doesn't look like there's anything there, but it's feeding. And it's feeding, and it's feeding, and it will not move. It never moved. They had so much struggle getting that gun in the right place, but it still never moved. I mean, for a long time, it never moved. She pulls the trigger, and you can see the result. Probably the first ever quadriplegic to kill a deer on the board. I mean, tears of joy over this one. Received Christ as well. I went blind thanks to Ken's prayer that day. Awesome, awesome event. Richie, I told you I'd get back to. I took that man on so many hunts. This is where I get to show kind of my vulnerability, my lack of any faith that I sometimes have. So you may think so far it sounds like Chappie's called to some pretty cool stories, but this one definitely showcases I've got my flaws, folks. And this guy, had it not been for God's involvement in this ministry, would not be where he is today. Richie is probably one of my best friends today. And what happened? I took him on this hunt up in Pennsylvania. There's the head of this hunt. There's bad weather that comes in, nice snow and everything. We're driving up the mountainside. We're sliding everywhere. He's like, I'm going to die. This chaplain brought me out to kill me. So we go out to the sun, and I asked the preacher,
Sunday at the place that we're at. So I preach at the church. You know what he does? He makes sure that when I get up to speak, he steps out for a smoke. He's not going to enjoy the message. And I thought, well, that was weird. So I preach, I get done, and I come out and find him. And I'm like, hey, man, why'd you step out? He goes, I don't need any of that religion junk. I'm like, yeah, I think you need some of that religion junk. We're going to go on another one. So I take him on another one. I take him on one that's going to cost us a lot of money. Take him on that money, and again, I'm supposed to preach at the end of it. What's he do? He walks out, steps out, makes sure he doesn't have to hear it again. Okay, at this point, I get frustrated, y'all. After about three or four tries, I'm like, I guess, God, you need to use somebody else. Apparently, I'm not the guy. I kind of almost gave up on him. I was about ready to not take him on any more hunts. And then Sean asked me if there's some guys that I've really been praying over that maybe I could bring on a hunt with him that maybe really need Jesus. And I said, oh, I've got one. Somebody else is going to have to do it, though, because I'll get him there, but I don't know that I'm your guy. He goes, no, if you're bringing him, I want you to speak. I said, Charlie, we'll step out. It won't work. He'll avoid us. So I take him on the hunt with Sean. I step up to speak. You guessed it. He steps out. Okay, at this point, I'm kind of mad, but defeated, really. I'm like, I thought maybe this would be different. I don't know. So I go out and I hunt with some other veteran entirely because I'm a little too frustrated. I hunt with this other veteran, and I come back, and everybody sees me gone. And I walk into this barn place that they have, and as I walk in, just thinking I'm going to go in and grab a drink, I see two people sitting at a table like this, and one of them's Richie, and on the other side is Chuck McAllister. Richie's in tears. Chuck looks up at me and he goes, and I think I know just the guy that would like to pray with you and help you receive Christ. I walked in literally right in the hand. He was ready to receive Christ. God allowed me to be a part of it. I gave up on that. Yeah, I can't believe I did, but I really gave up on it. But see, that's the way I think God is. God wants us to make the kind of memories that last a lifetime. I've got memories from combat. I can tell you so many stories. This moment, a sniper shot me, made it through that hay there, hit the window, it looked like that. It hit literally right on the right side of me. But I'll tell you, none of those memories about anything in combat, about any of those hunts, matter nearly as much as each one of the ones I just told you tonight when I saw the light change. See, memories like those, they don't just last a lifetime, they last eternity. That's the memory I want you to have. I want you to remember the time you came to a church like this, and you heard about a chaplain standing up that sounds like he's got way too busy of a life, but maybe enjoying some of his photos, and you thought, you know what? I like what he's talking about. My life's a little bit in disarray right now. I've got some things that I feel like maybe nobody understands what I'm going through. See, when I went through Iraq, I felt like that myself. I was medevaced, I told you earlier, right? I was with some special forces guys when I was over in Iraq, and we were all medevaced because we were around the blast. That had this green hue that came out of it. All four of us breathed whatever it was, choked a little bit, thought nothing of it. When we got back, all four of us ended up getting medevaced out of country into Germany. All found out that we had a type of cancer from the stuff that we breathed. That cancer got into my chest, my arm, my neck, and up into my head. It was in the same region of all four of us. The other three guys died in just a few short months. I was given less than 6 months to live. I will tell you that my faith wavered again. But when I started to think about the memories of how great the ministry was in Iraq, I thought it's never going to be that good again. That's when my faith was wavered. And then guess what happened? I'm sitting in a hospital bed receiving what I actually like to call liquid poison with chemo. I'm sitting there receiving that stuff into my veins. And off to my left, I see this nurse walk into the room, and she looks in there, standing with this older gentleman, and she's pointing over there at me, and she's like, and I'm thinking, I've got a bad attitude. I'm sorry I'm being honest here about this, but I've got a bad attitude at this point. And I look over, see that? I'm like, why do they want to involve me in this, whatever they're talking about? And then they walk out. He storms out of the room. So a little bit later, they come back in, and she's like, she's pointing over there. She's really trying to convince him. So he walks over, and he leans over and looks at me in this bed, and he kind of says this. He goes, so, they tell me you're an army chaplain. Yeah. And so he goes, well, all right then. If I can take my chemo at the same time as him and sit in the bed right next to him, then I'll do it. His name is Gary Green.
Gary had served three tours in Vietnam. Herb Bartlett sent me a Silver Star, was sending me a wonderful hero. That wasn't mine. He wanted to be sitting next to a chaplain to tell about his heroics.
I feel like Gary was kind of like that guy on the cross that looked at Jesus and he knew he needed something more because his life was ending. It's the same for Gary. He was given a few weeks. And if he didn't fight, he was going to miss some things that his wife wanted him to still experience in life. So he didn't want to fight. So he didn't want to take the chemo. But he took it so that he could sit next to a chaplain who really had kind of wavered too much in his faith. And then gradually over time I get to know Gary. I still keep my Bible back that I've got. I still keep his obituary in that Bible reminding me of something. See, I think I started to give up and think that God has done with me. Just like some of you might be thinking, God can never help me in this situation. God's done with me. He's not really here. And some of us can start to think that. And the problem was, as I started to think that way, God sends me Gary. Laying in a hospital bed next to me, I got to tell him about Jesus. We got to pray. And I got to lead him to the Lord. As we prayed together, I remember thinking, God, if you can use me, I'm laying in a hospital bed, receiving chemo. I'm yours to use as you will. It took me a while to really think that. You want to know something? All these wonderful memories, they'll fade in time, do they not? I won't take this with me. You won't see this stack in my purse as I'm headed down the road. It would be quite a sight. That won't happen. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and die is gain. People don't talk that way. People don't talk like after death, there's gain. Unless they know Savior of the world. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what struggle you're facing. God loves you. Not only does He love you, He wants to help you in a way that is going to sound really simple when I say it. He wants to help you by being your Savior. Coming to dwell with you, live with Him, and He gives us this thing called the Holy Spirit that provides us encouragement. It's things like hope that people need. Hope that's lost today with some of the things going on in our own lives and in the world around us. Hope is given through someone like God through Christ. Things like love found from fellowship, things we lost through COVID. We get love from people that lost to know Christ. Things like joy. I'm not talking happiness. Happiness can fade in a short while sometimes. Joy is everlasting. He gives that. Joy unspeakable is what he calls it. Man, and a peace that surpasses all understanding in your heart and in your mind, he says in Philippians. He'll give you that through Christ Jesus, his Son. Look, I'm going to make it real simple for you. The thief on the cross is one person, I guarantee your pastor here, myself, any minister out here, anyone you ever talk to that knows Jesus will tell you the same thing. If there's one person we know in Scripture that it says is in paradise today, Christ said it himself. He ain't going to deny this one. Christ said, this man is in heaven. How did he do it? How did he get there? He was a thief. He was on the cross. How many times did he get to give tithe after he got saved? How many missions trips did he go on, Chapel? Tell me how he earned this way to heaven. You know what? I'm not going to be able to tell you some wonderful works and things that he did. You know what he did? He looked and he recognized who was on the cross next to him. Because he said, Lord, calling God, He is divine. Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, remember me. So in other words, when he said those words, Lord, Jesus Christ, Lord, remember me, he recognized, I'm not going to attain heaven without Him being the one that knows me. And how do I get Him to know me? I've got to confess He's Lord. I've done wrong. I've sinned. I need Him to be the Lord of my life. And I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all he said. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There's a lot packed in that. Namely, that he also recognizes heaven is Christ offered by dying on the cross. The perfect sin sacrifice. It's the same with you.
Because Christ responded, today, you'll be with me in paradise.
Look, I want to know that everyone in this crowd is going to be with me in paradise someday. And I look forward to that day, because to die is coming. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, tonight I'm going to give you a chance to make that the memory that will last an eternity. Would you bow your heads and pray with me?
God, as we gather here tonight, thank you for the promises and praises, and thank you for the blessings. But Lord, we've gathered here for a more important reason. If we leave here without this most important reason, then we've really not gathered for the right reason. Lord, we want to make memories that last a lifetime, but more importantly, I want memories that last an eternity. I want to know, just as the rest of us know, that when I drive past those graveyards or whatever, that I don't have to worry. Every one of us is going to face it someday, and I don't have to worry because I know that the die is coming. I know that by knowing Christ as my Savior, heaven can be and will be my home, just as the thief on the cross. It's not about your works. It's not about your efforts. You're never going to get there. Just like the thief, he didn't do anything to earn it. But he did confess. So I'm going to invite you. Look, if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, I know everybody's got their eyes closed and we're all praying here. I want you to just do this with me. I want you to pray with me tonight. If you have not yet received Christ as your Savior, I want you to pray with me this time. And pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. Lord, that I am in need of you. Be the Lord of my life, as that thief confessed on the cross. Lord, remember me, because I want to enjoy heaven as my home. If you've confessed your sin like that before Christ, you've recognized that Jesus is indeed Lord. The Bible showed that it worked for one man, and I'm certain it was for you. Then you have just received Christ as your Savior. Lord, I know that there's someone out here tonight that has prayed that prayer. And I will rejoice with it, because even in your word, you say that heavens rejoice with one person that comes to repentance. If you've prayed that prayer, just slip up your hand. I want to make note of that, so I'll come and talk to you now, maybe afterwards. If you've prayed that prayer and seen that name. If you pray that prayer, just slip your hand up and back down. I just want to see those that have prayed that prayer. Lord, you know those that have prayed this prayer tonight. You know those that need you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, you know the hurts that are in this room. And Lord, you are that great physician that offers the peace, the passive understanding, the joy, the hope, and the love for all eternity. The things we really want this world. The memories for eternity. Lord, I pray that if anybody here does not know Christ, if you didn't pray that prayer, you still have an opportunity. I want you to come see myself, the pastor, Rob, any of us tonight. We would love to show you how you can know Christ as your Savior. Christian, if you've been here tonight, you've heard this message and this story as well. For those of you that do believe in Christ, remember this. God loves the lost, and he wants you to love them as well. So keep on doing what you're doing to make sure that you stay strong and sharing your faith with others. Think of those that you wish maybe heard this message tonight. And go share Christ with them this week. I pray God will encourage you, strengthen you, help you to ever be a bright light in this world for him. Lord, I pray that you will continue your work in this church. Help these people to grow in their faith and their knowledge of you, those that have received Christ, and also those that already know Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.